For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It's now Tropical Storm Lane, and the rainmaker is still soaking Hawaii. Some areas could get more than 3 feet before it's all over. Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell.
Lane got weak and fell apart. We dodged a bullet. Doesn't mean it's over. We're going to have rain and wind and local flooding, and we need to be vigilant, and we don't want to let all our guard down.
Hawaii Governor David Ige says crews have been checking infrastructure for damage.
We have monitored dam levels statewide and will continue to do so. We don't anticipate any issues with the existing dams across the state.
NOAA's Steve Goldstein says Hawaii is seeing a storm the likes of which it has not seen in more than a quarter of a century.
You do not need a direct strike to have major impacts from a hurricane this strong.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Former Centers for Disease Control Director Dr. Tom Frieden is out of jail in New York after his arrest on sexual harassment charges. Here's WCBS-TV's Tony Aiello.
The judge ordered him to stay away from his accuser before releasing him on just a signature.
Do you have anything to say to yourself?
Frieden left without comment. The sex abuse and harassment charges stem from last October, a party at Frieden's apartment in Brooklyn Heights. A longtime friend says Frieden cornered her, grabbing her rear end and groping her when her husband and Frieden's wife weren't looking.
One of the top financial officials in President Trump's company is now expected to cooperate with investigators in the Russia probe. Alan Weisselberg is the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization. He has been there since the days when his father ran the company. He is now getting immunity from prosecutors who are looking into hush money payments before the 2016 election. You're listening to USA Radio.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Vice President Mike Pence addressed Republican attorneys at a luncheon in Washington on Friday. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Senate Democrats continue to delay consideration of Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the High Court. Vice President Mike Pence, speaking at the Republican National Lawyers Association Friday, accused Democrats of senseless obstruction.
What the Constitution says is advise and consent has turned into obstruct and oppose.
Pence lavished praise on Kavanaugh, saying in a more respectful time, he would be overwhelmingly confirmed to the Supreme Court. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
A Chicago family says they were the focus of two investigations after letting their daughter walk their dog in their neighborhood. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The family says police and child welfare officials both investigated them earlier this month after they let their 8-year-old daughter walk the family dog. The girl's parents say a neighbor called police with concerns about seeing a neglected child and saying it was a girl 5 or younger walking a dog by herself. When the parents told officers their daughter is 8, police said no one needed to be charged, so the neighbor then called the State Department of Child and Family Services. And officials from that agency took a look at the situation and also concluded that that little dog walker was not being neglected or abused. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our active military, veterans, and first responders. Presented by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. Tune in, join in, and plug in with us on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave.
On the air everywhere around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, brought to you on the Armed Forces Radio Network, the USA Radio Network, and here in Dallas, our flagship station, 1160 AM KBDT. I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, U.S. Navy Veteran. Joining me, my partner in crime and or evil, the dapper, the suave, the great Ron Abrams with the Texas Veterans Commission. Brother Abrams, how are you this morning?
I am well. I decided to do a little sports theme today. Even though I never played any organizational sport, I went ahead and
okay,
put this on.
You put real style to that. That's the problem. You put real style to everything. You do so much as the director for employment for this region in teaching veterans how to dress for success, how to do resumes, and helping them to get jobs. Ron, you do so much.
I appreciate it.
I think that is just incredible.
And I appreciate the promotion. However, I'm the district outreach coordinator. I would love to be the director. That's about, what, another $100,000 a year?
Well, but, let's just lobby for that, buddy, because you deserve it. You brought with you a good friend of, who is a tremendous guy. Please yes. introduce our buddy here.
On today's program, very special program, by the way, we have Mr. LaJohn McDonald, and he's with the Military Veteran Peer Network, one of our great collaborators and partners with the Texas Veterans Commission. And there's a lot of aspects when it comes to veterans, and there are some veterans who are trying to overcome a lot of their personal demons, as it were. And that's what his organization specializes on, to include many other areas. And LaJohn is also a Navy veteran, and we've been working together now for, what, a little over 3 years now, I believe, John?
Yeah, that sounds right, yes.
And, John, I was able to go to one of the trainings that he had the day before yesterday. And I tell you, he's one of the more dynamic trainers or instructors or facilitators you're ever going to meet. I mean, you can do an eight-hour training, and it only feels like you've been in there for 1 hour. I mean, that's how good he is at it. But again, LaJohn McDonald, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here. I really enjoy you all's show. I really enjoy your company. Every time I'm with you all, I learn something. So thank you.
Yeah,
it's an honor.
Fact,
wait a minute. We learn from you.
True. That is true.
Mutual and reciprocal.
Yeah. LaJohn, tell everybody a little bit about Military Peer Network and what all you guys do, because it's so important. And then we can talk about where it is across the nation.
The Military Veteran Peer Network is a volunteer service organization that was established around 2010. It's based on camaraderie, hope, and trust, and building that foundation of transition for our veterans in the community. So we are about camaraderie, and that means our veterans don't have to isolate. Usually there are other veterans that they can collaborate with, communicate with, share a cup of coffee with, and experiences. So that's one of the initial components. But second to that, we also like to train. We do the basic training, which Ron was alluding to. And that basic training consists of peer ethics. It consists of active listening, effective communication, just basically establishing a framework around the language we use as we help veterans to transition. We are mentors to the Tarrant County Treatment Court. We are in the diversion program, the Justice Involved Veterans. We do peer support in the Green Bay Detention Facility. We have a veterans pod, which houses 24 veterans. So we take peer support to those veterans, along as with additional resources to help them establish themselves as they transition out. So there are a number of things that we do. We do a lot of community outreach for various community partners. We allied with the Texas Veterans Commission as well. So it goes on and on. I don't want to
No, you're doing good. Continue. And this is what I like about it, because this is probably, what, the fifth time you've been on the show?
Yes, sir.
But now we're broadcasting on Armed Forces Radio Network. So now we have roughly close to, what, a little over 3 million?
About 3 million
listeners.
People that will be listening to this program worldwide. Plus, we're picking up a lot of people. So good morning to all of the people that are joining us. Joanne Scarborough in San Diego, Jim Dolan down in Corpus Christi, and the great Tim Klund. All of these folks, I think, are a little bit familiar with the Military Peer Network. I went through the training with Scott Smith some time ago. I'm kind of taking over, so...
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you, John is going to bring in another guest as well. This gentleman is a Navy and Marine veteran, and he's also has a service dog. But he has a very unique story he wants to share with everyone. But he was part or under the program of Military Veteran Peer Network, and now he's working alongside them in their community outreach efforts and a lot of the collaborations with the other service organizations within the area.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, one of the things that we like to do is challenge our own potential. We do a lot of healing by helping others. So one of the ways that we connect with our veterans is finding out what they enjoy doing, what their unique talents are, and try to direct them to an outlet that they can promote their talents and ability. We talk about there being many pathways to wellness, but no shortcuts. So wellness is represented of itself. And what we try to do is talk about the things that we can do to direct them to the resources that are available to them.
And a lot of veterans just don't know. They don't even know many of the programs, the monies that are available to them. They have no idea. And a lot of us veterans, and I, myself included, I'll include myself in that. When I transitioned from the military, I didn't want any help. I thought I was a soldier. I thought I can handle it all on my own. And much to my surprise, you know, it took me even longer to reach progress, you know. So if don't feel bad about reaching out to someone and just asking the question. You know, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Very good.
If there's something you need to know, then reach out to someone and talk to them. And Military Veteran Peer Network is one of those organizations that'll get you those answers.
And one of the ways that we can connect is we have so many Military Veteran Peer Network coordinators throughout the state of Texas. Jim had mentioned Scott Smith, and Scott Smith is one who got me involved in helping me and training me. We have Ginger Simonson out in the Denton MVPN.
You mean my little sister?
Yes, your little sister. Absolutely. These are wonderful people. I'm talking about boots on the ground, skin in the game, vested interests. These are veterans themselves. Just wonderful individuals in our community. And one thing that is amazing to be able to see us work in our particular counties that we're designated in, but when it comes together, you see all of these veterans in our community healing and being restored and also connecting to our efforts. The veterans one stop down in Waco, Delisa Russell Duncan is an amazing woman, and what they do down there is simply incredible. And if you have an opportunity to tour the veterans one stop in Waco, please do. The things that they're doing down there are just simply amazing. And what we are beginning to do in our basic training is collaborate with our community partners. This week we had two basic trainings, and we train with the Mission Continues and train their platoon leaders here in our local community. And then we also train with some of the hospice care organizations in our community. And so we're trying to scale out, because what we do is completely scalable. Everything that we do as an organization can be scaled, can be replicated. So I'd like to see the efforts go nationwide under one language and one mission and one motivation, if you will.
Without a doubt, it's very, very important. And as you said, One Stop is really, I think, the framework that how can we... Now, we have a great Veterans Resource Center here in Dallas, run by Ken Watterson and my good friends down there, but it's right next to the VA hospital, about two blocks away. However, the One Stop is so amazing because of the community support that the One Stop has.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, what they have done in 3 years?
It's amazing.
It is truly amazing. I was down there Wednesday and had lunch with about 160 veterans, and Delisa took me through that whole facility. They have a gym. They have a library. They have an area for using with a computer to do your resume or to go online and apply for jobs. They have counseling rooms. They have the Texas Veterans Commission there. They have the county service officers there. They have counselors there. But the main thing is everybody can sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a bite of lunch. They get to know each other, and they get to talking about their lives, their experiences. And it's a safe, clean environment.
That's absolutely right, Jim. We talk about these collaborations, and I like the model that the Veterans One Stop has implemented, but it's really relationship driven. We were just having dinner with the Mission Continues just the other day. So not that we are all located in one facility, but right now we're just basing it on the relationships that we have. But to have the convenience of everything being centered in one location is simply convenient for all involved. But the relationships that we have established in our community is simply amazing. I was with Delisa Russell not too long ago as she toured our community here in Tarrant County, just kind of getting some ideas of the scale and scope of what we do. And she had the privilege of visiting our veterans pod at the Tarrant County Detention Facility. But not to mention, we have scaled to be able to train some of our peace officers in our community under the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, whereby the veterans who have been just as involved participate in scenarios of training. So to educate our peace officers on being able to recognize veterans when they come to the scene, which is simply amazing. And I'll tell you how that played out. We received a call from a police officer from the scene. This veteran was wow. Non-aggressive, nor was he under the influence. And the peace officer who had gone through the TCOL training thought enough to call our office. We were able to speak with one of our peer representatives, our peer support specialist. They called one of the local facilities, the Presbyterian Night Shelter. We had a bed for this veteran before we got off the phone. We told the officer, please take him to this location. And the next morning, we dispatched a peer support specialist to a Presbyterian Night Shelter, and he was able to make his VA appointment. And don't you know how difficult it is to reschedule a VA appointment? So the peer network opportunity really works for our veterans. So there are so many success stories that we could speak of. One in particular, there was a veteran that was sleeping in his car at the VA outpatient clinic in Fort Worth, and through the his involvement with us, he became familiar with what we do. And don't you know, he's now a homeowner.
Oh, wow. That's the way to go. It's all about lifting out, lifting up, a handout. The brotherhood of our shipmates, of our military, all of those. We come together to support each other, good, bad, and indifferent. Matter of fact, I was talking with somebody about a program Roger Staubach has developed to help people and to reach out to young men and women who are exiting, who are coming out of the military today. So there's so much going on, and we're here to bring education, information, and communication. Joining me again today, LaJohn, thank you so much. Let's continue this conversation. We'll introduce your buddy when we get back, Ron Abrams. Thank you for all you do.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A and the number 4B. Just call 833 for my VA loan. That's 833, the number 4, my VA loan, or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548, and our Homebridge company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Island, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at allianceforthebrave.com.
Are you looking for a company that works strictly in entertainment? Whether it's photography, videography, filmmaking, well, look no further. Check out Pete Persaud Entertainment. Pete Persaud Entertainment is local. It's local in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they have a ton of experience creating production from thought and vision to final product. For more information, go to PetePersaud.com. It's Pete, P-E-R-S-A-U-D.com. Or go to Pete Persaud Entertainment on Facebook. Life can be tough enough, and when we don't have someone that we can talk with about our day-to-day issues and the problems and the things that we want in our life, it can be overwhelming. When we tend to look to our family and friends for all the answers, well, we normally come up short. It's time to talk to someone who not only cares, but can give you the clarity and honesty that you deserve. My name is Ashley Burgess. I'm a licensed therapist and life coach in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. For more information on me, go to AshleyBurgess.com. That's Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com, and let's work together.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Antel, U.S. Army retired.
You will rise to the level of your leadership. If your leadership level is high and you're a capable leader, you can do many good things for many people. If your leadership level is low, if you have trouble working with people, if you can't get along with people, then you can't really be a leader. You will rise to the level of your leadership. Teamwork wins. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network, honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Jack, thank you for tuning in to today's program. I'm Ron Abrams, District Outreach Coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission. And as you can see, for our Facebook listeners, we have one more guest in studio. But if you notice, the gentleman with the, I like to call it schoolboy hat. That's LaJohn McDonald.
Schoolboy hat.
Yes.
I like
it. Or paper delivery. I forgot what they call it in Britain. But I used to wear those all the time. But that's LaJohn McDonald, and he's with the Military Veteran Peer Network, doing some great things in the community. And to LaJohn's right, your left, if you're watching on Facebook, that is Juan Rodriguez. And notice I rolled the R, Juan.
You tried.
Welcome aboard. By the way, we've got another guest you don't know about.
Oh, who's that?
Down on the deck.
Yes. Thank you.
Her name is Chariot.
Juan brought his service dog.
Service dog.
She's how great baby. Is that? Sweet baby.
She is really sweet.
Indeed. Now, Juan is a veteran, and he is also a veteran of two services, and that's Navy and Marine Corps, right?
Yes, sir.
But give us a little bit about your background, and let us know why you're here.
Well, my name is Juan Manuel Rodriguez, suffix Jr., and I'm a retired veteran. I served with the Marine Corps and the Navy. I did two deployments with the Navy and one with the Marine Corps, and I retired from the NASJRB here. It used to be Carswell. I didn't think I was going to get... I came here to get stationed, make rank. I didn't think that I was going to get medically retired honorably. Once I got retired, that's where I went through my trials and tribulations in real life. And this is where I met LaJohn, really good guy, mentor for everybody, genuine person when I go to the courts at the Veterans Diversion Program. And really, I'm really lucky to meet him. Really, he is really a good guy.
Now,
that's great. You're a success story then.
If you don't mind, I'm going to steal something from you.
Yes, sir.
I like the way you said suffix junior.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell my son to use that.
That's proper.
I did not name my son junior, but I gave him the second. Okay. So I'm going to tell him to just say suffix the second.
Copy.
But you met LaJohn, you said, during a pretty tumultuous time in your life, though. What types of things were you going through when you transitioned? What was it, the types of jobs, what did brushes with law, things of that nature?
Well, I'm 100% VA. My percentage is 100%, and I clicked SSDI. So working is not, it's not, what I was doing, I was self-medicating when I retired from the military.
Yes.
Which was a big mistake, because I was going in the wrong direction, and I was there in the crossroads. And I'm lucky, and every veteran, to me, not even just a veteran, every person has resources. You've got to look for your resources, or you're going to be lost in this dimension. Your resources is a key.
That's just the key. And a lot of veterans don't even know. They have no idea what's available to them out there.
Yes, sir.
They think they're out there on their own, you know?
A lot of veterans have a lot of
lack of knowledge. We don't know what we don't know.
And there's so many resources out there, sir. There's so many resources, and there's so many civilians that want to help out the military.
And we say to our veterans who are in transition, we need you. Your situation is unique because of the 10 fingerprints that you have. Yeah, everyone or many people have experienced homelessness. Many people have experienced substance use disorder. Many people have lost employment. But what makes each situation unique is the 10 fingerprints that individual carries with them. And we need that experience. We need your unique ability to transition successfully to help other veterans. And that's why I'm glad you're here today, Juan, because I remember when you stood up in treatment court and you said, I'm a poet, and I love looking for opportunities where there's an open mic. And I couldn't think of anything better than
Alliance for the Brave.
Alliance for the Brave, yeah. And having you on the show.
All right, we're going to be back in about a minute after this word from all of our partners. I have a feeling we're going to have some poetry in motion here, which is going to be terrific.
Pure energy.
Yeah, can't help that. This is really important. The peer network, military peer network, and a real life story and a real life person and how it's helped out. So this is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams, my buddy, over here. LaJohn, thank you for bringing Juan with us and Ron Rodriguez. We'll be right back after these words from all of our partners. This is Alliance for the Brave.
And traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It's now Tropical Storm Lane, and the rainmaker is still soaking Hawaii. Some areas could get more than 3 feet before it's all over. Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell.
Lane got weak and fell apart. We dodged a bullet. Doesn't mean it's over. We're going to have rain and wind and local flooding, and we need to be vigilant, and we don't want to let all our guard down.
Hawaii Governor David Ige says crews have been checking infrastructure for damage.
We have monitored dam levels statewide and will continue to do so. We don't anticipate any issues with the existing dams across the state.
NOAA's Steve Goldstein says Hawaii is seeing a storm the likes of which it has not seen in more than a quarter of a century.
You do not need a direct strike to have major impacts from a hurricane this strong.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We work hard at being healthier.
What?
And what we really need is better quality sleep. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing only for a limited time. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Colonel John Entell, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea. A trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entell. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Hud Rodriguez, and Anthony Kim have enjoyed themselves at the Nancy Lieberman Charities Celebrity Golf Classic. This is Nancy. This day is about friends, fun, and philanthropy. At this tournament, your contributions benefit the children served by Nancy Lieberman Charities. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancyliebermancharities.org and be a part of our team.
It's Bristol, baby.
Battle for the lead. Here comes Chase Elliott to the point, and the crowd erupts.
It's the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race.
Kyle Busch will try to get the advantage in three. Half car length over Eric Jones. Trouble turn three. Austin Dillon gets spun around. Eric Jones to the inside. Side by side, they roll into two.
The Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race. Saturday, August 18th at 5:30.
Don't miss the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race tomorrow at 5:30 on 1160 AM KBDT. And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entell, U.S. Army retired.
Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. All of us face fear. All of us are afraid. In certain circumstances, that fear can paralyze you. But leaders have to cycle through that fear. They have to cycle through the fear more rapidly than others, and they have to decide to act. It takes courage to act. Decide on courage. I'm Colonel John Entell, American-Leadership.com.
Today's program is brought to you by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Visit us on Facebook or online at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now back to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network.
Well, let's tie a red, white, and blue ribbon around that tree. I've got Ron Abrams with me today. I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. We're talking about the Military Peer Network, how important it is to tune in, plug in, and be a part, because it lifts everybody up, and we can lead the way. Ron?
You know, during the break, Juan, you were sharing a story with us. I think the listeners would love to hear. If you can, let us know what your MOS was, or rating, as it were, in the Navy. But when you crossed over to the Marine Corps, you went through some serious things, or serious times as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You were a bodyguard for a chaplain and things of that nature. But share with our audience what you did.
Well, let me start from the beginning. I was a quartermaster in the Navy, undesignated first, quartermaster. And then I cross-rated to the rate religious program specialist. Once you cross over as a religious program specialist, you have an advantage of crossing over to the Marine Corps. And the difference between any other rate, like the corpsmen, is they're non-combatant. The religious program specialist is combatant, so we get to fight up front with the Marines. So I went to school at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina for 13 weeks to come over to the crossover to the Marine Corps. Once I graduated with high honors, too, I got to choose on where I wanted to go, either stay to Camp Lejeune or Camp Pendleton. So I like the West Coast, because the West Coast to me is the best coast. So I went.
That's you and me both. I'm a San Diego kind of guy.
Yeah, I love San Diego. I was there. I was there on the USS.
I even like their version of Mexican food.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, that is the place where margaritas were made.
Yeah, I love California. I went to Camp Lejeune. I got orders to Camp Lejeune. I was at Headquarters Battalion first, and then I got orders to 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, 5th Marine Regiment. And that's an infantry battalion that went deep into Afghanistan. We were in Muzikela, Helmand Province, and that's where it was really kinetic. Because one day I saw one of my friends, and the next day you're gone. So very kinetic. And my job as a religious program specialist, MOS 2401, is to protect the chaplain. Because he has a cross on his collar and his rank, and then all those the Taliban and those Muslims, they wanted him. They wanted him because he was the wrong guy to be in the wrong country. But that was my job, is to keep him alive, make sure that nobody was going to mess with him, and really kinetic. But mission accomplished. We never got hit with an IED, even though we did. They did try to get us in the convoys. We did mission accomplished, and he is still my friend to this day. We still talk.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, all the chaplains. That's one thing about me being enlisted and me being with the chaplains is I made the best friends with the chaplains that are captains, that are commanders, lieutenant commanders. These are guys that we go out to eat, and they know that I'm there to protect them. When we're back in the States, they know that that we're safe, you know, we're good to go, so. We're best friends.
When I was aboard the carriers, I got to know our chaplains pretty well. Yeah. And most of the time, our chaplains, when we pulled into port, had made arrangements with orphanages and various places. And we had really humanitarian efforts that were led by our chaplains to be involved and to go and be involved in the community, especially in the Philippines. Exactly. And some of the things that we did as well in Japan. Our chaplains were truly amazing in terms of involvement with the sailors aboard the carrier and the communities that we went to. I think that's hugely important. But you saw some pretty tough combat from what I hear, what I'm gathering.
Yes, sir. Not even a lot of Marines get to see the combat that I got to see. Not even a lot of soldiers, airmen, COSIs, they don't get to see what I saw.
The other thing, too, you were a quartermaster. A lot of people, when you say a quartermaster, they don't know what that is in the Navy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that quartermaster is if you're on the bridge.
Yeah.
You're up on the bridge. You've got the bridge. You got the helmsman. You got the operations specialist. You got the XO, the CO. You got the conning officer. I mean, up on the bridge is very kinetic. I mean, it's hopping and bopping.
Basically, brother, you're the guy who steers the ship.
We even did celestial navigation with the moon and stars when on just to practice.
You mean they still do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if everything goes out, what do you your SOL?
Well, boy, that's for sure. I didn't realize anybody still did that.
Yeah, we still doing the celestial navigation.
Wow.
Just to practice. We practice just to make sure. I mean, we had our charts out. I mean, we were doing. I mean, it was very.
And LeJohn, what did you do in the Navy?
When I went in, I was undesignated, but they sent me to Crane Operations School. So I operated the 20-ton, the 60-ton, and the gantry crane aboard the USS Fort McHenry. But being undesignated, I had the opportunity to cross-rate into another department. When I went into supply department, I came out as a second-class MS, mess management specialist. But all of the experience, being as young as I was, I didn't really know about making the right career decisions. But it was a very interesting experience being aboard the USS Fort McHenry because when the Exxon Valdez hit that reef in Prince William Sound, we were there for the cleanup. But since we were already C-qualified to be out, we went over into the Gulf of Oman, and we were a part of the Desert Shield. But my contract had ended, so I got out because my son, my middle son, was quite young. He was 5 days old when I left for my last deployment, and my wife was there in San Diego. She was a dental technician as well. And so that kind of influenced my decision to get out, but I always wanted to serve. My grandfather was a part of the Korean War, 555th Airborne. My dad was Vietnam era. My mom was Army Nursing Corps. My wife was a dental tech, and I served as well. So military is a part of my pedigree, and I still want to serve my country. I still want to serve my fellow veterans and servicemen and women. And here's, I can't express the importance. I remember my transition was very difficult, and it culminated in about 2013 when I met Ginger Simonson, Scott Smith, Michael Killiam, who was the coordinator for Tarrant County at the time, when they brought me in, because Michael was able to see the hidden scars that I wasn't displaying and had kept hidden within for a long time, and he helped me. He threw me a lifeline. He supported me. They offered me employment, and now I'm working as a peer service coordinator for Tarrant County. So that is the energy that I bring to my role, and the fact that Juan Rodriguez is here physically present with us today is incredible, because a lot of our servicemen and women don't have that opportunity, and they're still completing suicide at an alarming rate. And I feel like one is too many. But here's how it comes together. When we were in the treatment court, Juan stood up and said, I enjoy doing poetry. I enjoy being in front of an open mic. And I said, brother, to myself, I said, I've got an opportunity for you. So he came to the office, and we sat down, and we start talking, and we start engaging. And that's that camaraderie piece. We're building camaraderie based on what his interest is. And that right there alone is just a necessity. I would love to continue to hear Juan's story, hear him tell his story to both young and old, both, you know, because these kind of experiences are unique to him. He bears the 10 fingerprints that designate him as uniquely qualified to help other veterans. So that's what it's about.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I'm not a poet, and I know it. But why don't you go for it, brother?
Sir, yes, sir. I have a poem here that I wrote when I was alone. It's called Pure Energy. You ready, guys?
Indeed.
Ready.
Pure Energy. Pure energy inside of me. Energy, energy, energy. Release me out to this world so you can understand me. I'm from out of this world so you can feel me. Pure energy, energy, energy needs to be released outside of me. Needs to be released outside to you. Pure energy, energy, energy. All I have is my soul and my body. Nobody can take it. You can't take it away from me. Nobody can take it ever away from me. My pure energy, energy, energy. I'm in this world with pure energy, energy, energy. I need to be released so you can understand me, please. Understand me, please. Try, try, try. Not to be a stranger that I used to be. In my body, nobody, even I, didn't even understand me. Myself and I will never turn back to the man that I used to be. I've changed for the better, and the worst is behind. Can't ever turn back, always going forth. My self-worth is worth more than gold. Priceless is my life to my family. My word is my bond, fact. I'm on bending knees praying with pure energy, energy, energy.
All right.
All right. That's good. Hoorah.
Copy that, Matt.
Hey, I didn't get to bring my books in, so I just picked them out real quick.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that's so important that I would like to make a point, we are here to help each other. Communication. What is the one thing that I think I see as a certified senior advisor and as a broadcaster? In common between veterans and seniors, they don't know. And when you say they don't know about the resources. They don't know about the organizations. So that's why we've got LeJohn and Juan here today to talk about the Military Peer Network. They don't know about places like One Stop in Waco, about the Veterans Resource Center. They don't know about the Texas Veterans Commission and all you do in employment. And one of the big things is when you and I first started this radio show 4 years ago, veterans had the highest unemployment rate in the United States.
It's true.
Now it's down. I think a lot of gratitude and thanks goes to you guys for bringing it down to closer to the national average.
Yes. Right now we're sitting at 3.4% unemployment rate. Last year it was 3.7. The year before that, 4.7. So we're definitely putting a dent in the unemployment rate for veterans.
And you're talking to major employers. You're talking to major people. And you're telling them, hey, veterans, with our training in leadership, our training in working together, our training in camaraderie, we all come together. The other thing I want to make a point of, because next month is Suicide Prevention Mental Health Month, the military leads the way. Quite frankly, the military has led the way on segregation, integration, getting rid of many of the problems. And it's led the way on desegregation. It's led the way medically with our VA and some of the things that are going on. We lead the way. So there is an epidemic in this country today of suicide, mental health, alcohol, drugs, opioids. Our military is leading the way. Wouldn't you guys agree?
We agree wholeheartedly. And I'd like to thank the leadership in our various communities, namely in Tarrant County, because we have compassionate leadership that is willing to think outside the box. And based on servicemen and women's background, because usually when servicemen and women enter or enlist into the military, they're squared away. They've been vetted. They don't have a lot of the issues going into these various various situations, and they volunteer to defend this country and this country's freedom. And we owe a debt of gratitude to them to say we're here for you, we honor what you do, and we're going to be a part of that safe and successful transition back into civilian life. How do we do this? Out of necessity, it is important to get to know our veterans. Out of necessity, it's important that we develop resources, that we network, that we build camaraderie around these conversations that impact our lives on a daily basis. I'm encouraged that Juan Rodriguez is here present with us today,
indeed,
living and breathing, because that's not always the outcome. So what we say to our veterans, now that you know that these opportunities exist, prepare yourself through the training that we provide to be able to engage with other veterans.
All right, we're going to be right back to wrap up this program after a few words from our partners. We're going to be talking about Military Peer Network and how it can work for you and the community. This is Ron Abrams and Jim Blythe with LaJohn and Juan. We are so thrilled to have you guys here. We'll be right back after all these words, and we're very thankful to be on the Armed Forces Radio Network for you with Alliance for the Brave.
Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our Golf Classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancylieberman.org and be a part of our team.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
All leadership is by example. Everything that you do, every action that a leader takes, every word that a leader says is remembered by those who follow him or her. Leadership is by example. It is not what you say. It is what you do. Don't tell them, show them. That is leadership by example. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams, and we're talking Military Peer Network. We're talking helping each other. Ron, you got some people that you want to shout out to.
Indeed.
And say thank you very much
You know, I would be remiss if I don't shout this particular person out, Christopher Burke. Christopher Burke, he's with Vitus Healthcare, and he just finished the Military Veteran Peer Network basic training.
Outstanding.
Day before yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was so gracious to send us a word of thanks on the email, but we did two basic trainings back-to-back, so I didn't get a chance to respond in kind and say thank you for attending. And we look forward to networking with Vitus to see what we can do to help veterans in transition.
And they're looking for volunteers, as a matter of fact. If you can help someone in hospice, this is a great way to do it in volunteer area. They're looking for volunteers to visit terminally ill veterans, drive and or accompany veterans to their appointments, help them with the shopping, other events. So if you're interested, definitely give Christopher Burke a shout out. His phone number is 972, that's the area code, 448-6540. And also a shout out to Julie Singh, who's watching us by way of New York. Forgive me if I got your first name wrong, but I do believe it's Julia Singh. And but everything is already scrolled up, so sometimes it's hard to catch these names on here.
Hey, I'd like to shout out to Joanne Scarborough, my cousin's wife, retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander. What a great lady. I mean, what a great family member. They have been close to me for many, many years. Matter of fact, I introduced Bill and Joanne.
I'd like to shout out to my team, who I could not do what I do without my team. William Rivera Vasquez, also Don Mooney, also Latierra Morris. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the work that you continue to do and continue to assist these veterans. I'm sorry, Jim.
No, LeJohn. Hey, how can people get a hold of you? How can they plug into the Military Peer Network? How can they be a part of all of this? Because you guys are plugged in so many ways and so many places. So
I'm glad that you asked that question. Well, they could visit us at milvetpeer.net and get some information about who we are and find a peer, find a local chapter, and scroll through that information. I office at 129 Harmon Road in Hearst, Texas. That's Hearst, Texas, 76053. And my number is 817-266-7507. 817-266-7507. And also, you can visit us through tarrantcares.org. tarrantcares.org, and then click on the Veterans tab, and that'll give you more information about how to register for our upcoming basic training, which we do every third Friday of the month. We have a basic training, so that's a reoccurring training. So you can download that application, fill it out, and email it back to me through tarrantcares.org.
Juan, when's your book come out? When can we get some books on this poetry?
I left my books out in the office. So I brought all my literature. One day when the moon and stars align, I want to get myself together and not be a hypocrite, and I want to be a mentor. I want to go out and show these young bucks that what's going on right now is not, something's not right now.
You know, Juan, again, it's not just the military as well. I think one of the things that a lot of veterans are doing is going into the elementary schools and the junior highs, because there's so few veterans anymore, and they're meeting with these children and mentoring with these children and showing them a better way. Yes, sir. I couldn't think of a better thing to do than be a part of the Military Peer Network, which I happen to be.
Yes, that's good.
And
that's good, Jim.
I think it's important that we do tune in, plug in, and join in to help not only one another, but to help the community. What? As I said, we lead the way.
And what makes it effortless is that we do what we love. We heal by helping others, but I'm not taking him outside of his comfort zone. If he loves poetry, then the next step is for those publishing companies, those that can give him instructions on how to get published and to how to build on his passion, and that'll keep him safe and healthier than anything, because when you do what you love, you really don't work. It is therapeutic.
Right. Well, you don't even cut corners when you do what you love.
You go the extra mile just because. And what happens in the peer network community is we strive to live signature lives. What that means is at the end of the day, can we sign off on what we did? Mm. Can we sign off on what we said?
Wow.
Can we sign off on the places that we went to? And I got that from a book. That wasn't from me.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up this hour. In the next hour, Navy Captain POW in Hanoi, Dave Carey, is going to be with us talking about how they thrived and survived in the Hanoi Hilton. I want to thank LeJohn McDonald. Thank Juan. Thank you so much for being here.
For having us.
But also for all you do. And I love your poetry.
And come back.
I will. Thank you very much for having
me. Awesome. Thank you, Ron. Always, it's a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much, man.
I want to say a special prayer for all of our active duty, all of our veterans. God, look over us, watch us, keep us safe. And thank you for all you do to protect all of us. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams with the USA Radio Network and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be right back after this in hour two.
News, talk, weather, sports. This is 1160 AM KBDT, Highland Park, Dallas-Fort Worth. Big D Talk. The news starts now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Tropical Storm Lane is now centered about 130 miles southwest of Hawaii and veering further west. Central Pacific Hurricane Center meteorologist Chris Brenchley.
You don't see the really powerful hurricane force winds as a possibility anymore. Still, though, there's tropical storm force winds. If you live on ridgetops or high-rise buildings, those could still get pretty good gusts in those areas.
The islands are still on alert for more rain and possible mudslides. Arizona Senator John McCain has long been a fighter, but he also knew the long odds of beating an aggressive form of brain cancer. Now his family says he's standing down. McCain was diagnosed with glioblastoma last summer. Now, nearly 1 year into treatment, McCain's family has decided to halt his cancer regimen. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Chris, the co-founder of Noro Coffee, a delicious, nutritionally enhanced coffee we created to not only improve your focus and attention, but to also support your brain health. It has been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, and Chef Robert Irvine Magazine called it the next big thing. Noro Coffee was developed by nutrition PhD Dr. Mike Roussel. We created a coffee that not only tastes amazing, it also supports brain health. That's Noro Coffee. I am so confident that you'll love Noro Coffee, but if you don't like it, you can return it in 30 days for a full refund, and I'll even buy you a 12-ounce bag of your old coffee. Every cup of Noro Coffee is enhanced with all natural antioxidants that support your body's ability to grow and repair neurons. These antioxidants were tested in 2 human clinical trials to prove that they work. Basically, it's a brain health supplement infused into amazing artisan coffee with a daily cost that is less than what you're currently paying. Again, if you're not happy, you can return it in 30 days for a full refund, and I'll buy you a 12-ounce bag of your old coffee. It is truly risk-free. Start drinking Noro Coffee to support your brain health now at GetBrainCoffee.com. That's GetBrainCoffee.com. GetBrainCoffee.com. GetBrainCoffee.com.
President Trump is not happy with his attorney general. USA's Robin Walensky reports.
People would say, oh, but you appointed Jeff Sessions. I said, I did.
President Trump goes after Attorney General Jeff Sessions. During a wide-ranging interview on Fox and Friends, he tells co-host Ainsley Earhart, Sessions has not taken control of the Justice Department.
But I really feel, as long as this is going out, I don't have to do this, but I will stay uninvolved, and maybe that's the best thing to do.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Pope Francis is in Ireland. He's meeting with victims of sexual scandal during his 2-day stay. Irish abuse survivor Marie Collins says she wants action, not just words of regret and condemnation.
The church has fallen over a cliff. Its moral authority is completely destroyed. Respect for the church, trust in the church. People don't look for guidance to the church anymore.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141.
800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump lashed out at foes during an appearance in Ohio. More from USA Radio's Rick Vincent.
Very little mention of the Russia investigation or the recent legal matters affecting several members of his inner circle at a rally in Ohio Friday night. But President Donald Trump did briefly touch on what he believes to be corruption at the FBI.
What a group. Comey, lies and leaks. He's a liar and he's a leaker.
The president also took a slap at Democrats, including the Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer.
They're going so far left and they're being dragged left. I knew Schumer when he was like somebody you could talk to. But he's been brought so far left, he's not even rational anymore.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
The outspoken liberal host of the HBO program Real Time makes a real big donation, as we hear from USA's Chris Barnes.
Saying he wants to see Democrats take back control of the U.S. Senate, HBO host Bill Maher has donated $1 million to Senate Majority PAC, a political action committee that's dedicated to supporting Democrats running for the Senate. While Democrats appear positioned to possibly take the House back in November, with recent polling showing the party leading on the generic ballot from 4 to 11 points, in the Senate, where Maher's reported focus is, Republicans still appear to be in a very strong position to maintain their majority. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
In the home of the brave.
Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our active military, veterans, and first responders. Presented by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. Tune in, join in, and plug in with us on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave.
In the air, everywhere, around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, brought to you on the Armed Forces Radio Network, the USA Radio Network, and our flagship station here in Dallas, Texas, 1160 AM KBDT. I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and joining me, the beautiful, the wonderful, the executive director of A4B, Miss Robin Valtudo. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yeah, we're still good morning. Good morning.
We're just having so much fun today. I think I'm moving this day a little too fast.
May I just say, incredible, inspiring first hour with the gentleman from the Military Veterans Peer Network.
Wasn't that
Texas. Incredible.
Okay, you want inspiring? I met a man a number of years ago, and he and my wife started talking about his experience. He has become a very dear friend, and he is one of the most fascinating men I've ever met, and he is one of the men that I consider a great leader in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Dave Carey, Captain United States Navy, retired POW in Hanoi. Dave, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Well, the crowd's excited. I'm delighted to be here with you, Jim.
I wish you could be up here because you are one of the most inspiring men. I think the first time I met you, you were talking about your experience as a POW. You were with my squadron. You were with VA-163. You got shot down August 31st, 1967. But prior to that, you survived the Oriskany fire.
Yes, in fact, I did. We had, you want me to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, if you would, let people know a little bit about that, because a lot of people don't know about the Oriskany fire.
Yeah, the USS Oriskany aircraft carrier had the first of several carrier fires that happened in the United States Navy in the late 60s. And I joined the squadron in 1966. And 6 weeks later, in October, we had a fire on board Oriskany. What literally happened was we had a night launch that didn't go, and so they were downloading the flares that we carried to light up the night sky. And as they were as they would download them, they would put them in a flare locker down on the hangar deck beside the number one elevator. Well, as fortune would have it, the safety pin didn't get put into the arming wire for one of those flares. And as they were passing them down the daisy chain to put them in the flare locker, the arming wire caught on the hinge of the hatch to the flare locker, and the sailor who had the flare in his hands tugged on it. And it armed the flare, it fired it off, and it went into the flare locker. So we had this flare that burns with like a bajillion degrees of heat, and magnesium phosphorus flare smoking caught the whole flare locker on fire, filled the forward part of the ship with this white, dusty smoke, kind of like a fine powder or flour. We ended up with about 43 people dead. It lasted for several hours. It was just a mess. And I was trapped down in my stateroom for quite a while, not really knowing the extent of it, but knowing that I couldn't get out of there.
And you managed to survive, which was absolutely incredible.
Amazing.
And Dave, you were an A4 pilot. You were with our squadron, VA-163. Then you went back on the O-boat, on the Oriskany, back in 1967. Tell us a little bit about that fateful day and what was going on, because that is a story that people just don't hear every day.
Yeah, it's not something that happens every day. We were in the Gulf of Tonkin off the coast of North Vietnam. We had a morning launch, say about 7 o'clock in the morning or so. We were launching 18 airplanes for a strike to strike a small railroad bridge just inland from the port city of Haiphong. So we've got all the airplanes in the air, got ourselves organized, pointed the noses toward the coast of North Vietnam. As we crossed the beach that day, they of course started shooting. They always started shooting. And that day, among everything else, I remember very clearly, they fired a couple of surface-to-air missiles from way out in front of us, one right after the other. And so I sat in my cockpit and I watched those two missiles. The first one just sat on the windshield and sat on the windshield. Eventually it started moving. And as soon as it started moving on the windshield, I knew it wouldn't hit me. It's kind of like you only have problems if the bearing is constant and the range is decreasing. It's like when you try to get on the freeway. As long as all those cars move relative to each other, things are pretty okay. So the second missile just sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there. And finally, when I decided if it wouldn't move, I would. And I decided to do a barrel roll, for those of you who know anything about aviation, over top of the only airplane was on the right side of me. All the other airplanes were on the left somewhere. And I knew if I went left, I was going to have to dodge airplanes. So it seemed like a good idea at the time. But by the time I was upside down over the airplane on my right, the missile went between us. There was a huge explosion. Fireball blew the tail section off my airplane, which I didn't know. The airplane just stayed on its back and started spinning and tumbling and gyrating and falling through the sky. It was shaking so bad that nothing would focus. And eventually, I got a glimpse of my altimeter as it went through 4,000 feet. I knew I had to get out of the airplane. So I ejected upside down, straight down towards the ground. Fortunately for dumb aviators, everything worked just the way it was supposed to work. And so I had a parachute. I got maybe two swings, and I landed in the middle of a small North Vietnamese village.
That had to be the start of a really bad day.
It was the start of a very bad day.
And you know, your story, and when I heard it the first time, and then I heard it on the Discovery Channel Wings program that I have the CD of. Everybody wants a copy of that. I'll send it to them. Dean Kramer came back and flew overhead. And tell us a little bit about that.
So when I hit the ground in this little village, nobody was around. So I get rid of my helmet and my parachute, run out across the dike, and I'm out in the rice paddy now, and I'm running out across. I don't have any idea, by the way, where I'm going. I'm just running out through the rice paddy, and when I get to about the middle of the rice paddy, I can look up and I can watch those airplanes flying away. And one of them, Dean Kramer's, had turned around and he was coming back. And so I stopped and got on a little radio that we had. I got this little radio on finally. And, well, you know, aviators are trained to be very cool on the radios. But I've got to tell you that at that moment, it was anything but very cool on the radio. So I started babbling on that radio. And finally, I had to breathe. So when I stopped to inhale, I let off the transmit button, which allowed Dean then to say something. And he said, you know, we cannot come and get you. At which point, I couldn't think of anything clever to say, and Dean said, I'll see you when this is over, and he flew away. And I was down that rice paddy.
That had to be the loneliest day in your life.
And yeah. Captain Carey, how old were you at this time?
25.
My goodness, so young. So yep. Young to be so brave.
So, Dave, you were standing in the rice paddy, and the whole Vietnamese world showed up, I would imagine. What happened then?
Yeah, there were about a million of them, I think. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. There were maybe 300,000. I don't know.
It probably felt like a million.
Yeah, it felt like a million. Looked like a million to me. Well, they captured me so fast it'd make your head swim. They drug me up on the rice paddy, tied me up. Actually, they tied me up with like about a mile of rope. There was rope everywhere. And then after they had me all tied up, then they decided to undress me. And they didn't untie me, but they took a machete that was made out of the leaf spring of a car. And they would just reach in between the rope and grab handfuls of my gear and chop it away. Till finally it was me and my mile of rope and my undershorts. And that would start what would turn out for me to be about 5.5 years in prison in North Vietnam.
My goodness.
And Dave, I'm sorry. You were going to say, and the question was, go ahead, please.
Well, you know, it is a very unique story. But the question I most frequently ask about that experience, when people find out it's in my background, that question almost involuntarily people say, well, how'd you do that? How could you do that? How would you be able to do that? And that's the question I try to answer in my speaking, because I don't want to just tell a story unless there's something to be learned from it for people's lives, business lives, and personal lives. And so that's the approach I've taken over the years, is what might be learned from that whole experience.
Your book is so amazing, The Way We Choose. We've put it up for people to see on Facebook. Your book not only tells this story, but, Dave, there are 5 points that you guys used that you believe in that saved all of your lives. It saved your mental sanity. Tell us what those are.
Well, I shall. Those 5 points are the way that I finally decided to frame up the experience when I talk to people about it. So I tell people, the question is, how did we do that, or what did we do? And in my mind, really, the answer to that question is very, very simple. We did what we had to do, and we did our best. And we did it day after day after day after day after day after day after day. We grew through that experience. We kept our sense of humor, and we kept the faith. Faith in ourselves, faith in each other, faith in our country, faith in God. And you see, I see those 5 points as directly translatable into people's lives, both professionally and personally. I mean, how do you do the things that you do? How do you get through the tough times? How do you deal with the problems you have at work? How do you deal with the problems that we have in our lives, the crises that are coming in our lives? How do we do what we have to do, and do we do our best, and do we do it day in and day out and day in and day out? Do we grow through all this experience? Do we keep our sense of humor? Do we keep the faith?
You know, these things are so terribly important, Dave, because not only were you captured on that day, but you were faced with an indefinite amount of incarceration. You didn't know when it was going to be over. You didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that as we go through this program, the next thing I'd really kind of like to delve into is, when they took you to Hanoi, to the Hanoi Hilton, the interrogation was pretty intense. That was pretty terrible, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It was. Yeah, the indoctrination program was pretty rugged. They threw me in a Jeep and took me to Hanoi. It took us all night, by the way, to go from Haiphong to Hanoi. That's about, I would guess, 60 kilometers. I can't remember exactly. It's not very far. But it took us all night. And then they took me into the big prison downtown. What I would later come to know, that my compatriots called New Guy Village.
Okay, here's what let's do. We're going to have word from the people who pay for this, our partners, myself included. And we're going to come back and talk about the interrogation, your incarceration. But from that experience, how you grew and how I happen to know the greatest French teacher in the world, right?
Okay. You do. In fact, you do.
And we're going to talk about the things you did to keep your sanity. So this is Jim Blythe with
Robin Valentino, and also to keep the faith.
Keep the faith. We're going to be right back with Captain Dave Carey, retired U.S. Navy POW of the Vietnam War. We'll be right back on Alliance for the Brave.
Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Are you looking for a company that works strictly in entertainment? Whether it's photography, videography, filmmaking, well, look no further. Check out Pete Persaud Entertainment. Pete Persaud Entertainment is local. It's local in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they have a ton of experience creating production from thought and vision to final product. For more information, go to PetePersaud.com. It's Pete, P-E-R-S-A-U-D.com. Or go to Pete Persaud Entertainment on Facebook. Life can be tough enough, and when we don't have someone that we can talk with about our day-to-day issues and problems and the things that we want in our life, it can be overwhelming. When we tend to look to our family and friends for all the answers, well, we normally come up short. It's time to talk to someone who not only cares, but can give you the clarity and honesty that you deserve. My name is Ashley Burgess. I'm a licensed therapist and life coach in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. For more information on me, go to AshleyBurgess.com. That's Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com, and let's work together.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A in the number 4B. Just call 833-4-MY-VA-LOAN. That's 833, the number 4, MY-VA-LOAN. Or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548. And our Homebridge company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Island, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at AllianceForTheBrave.com.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
Leaders pull, bosses push. Every one of us has had a boss. You don't like to be pushed. Americans don't like to be pushed. Texans particularly don't like to be pushed. Remember, as a leader, if you push people, they're going to resist. Try to pull them instead. Leaders pull. Bosses push. Leaders bring people to them. Leaders bring people to them and inspire them and get them to do things because they want to do it. Leaders pull. Bosses push. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network, honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back. We're enjoying a conversation this morning. Have another cup of coffee and listen as we talk with retired Navy Captain Dave Carey, who is also a former POW in Hanoi. Today has got to be a special day also, Dave, that we think about your shipmate and your POW mate, Senator John McCain, as I think he's in the final closing hours of his medical situation.
Yes, he is. John McCain's a great guy. You undoubtedly know he was shot down out of our squadron, VA-163. I lived with John for. Go ahead.
I was there when I got to know John. I got to meet John, and I was there, and I was doing Armed Forces Radio, and on board the ship that morning, and I got handed a piece of paper that said, "Would you please announce Lieutenant Commander McCain has been shot down." Then when we did the SyncPAC fleet change of command in Hawaii for his dad on board the Hancock a year or so later, I got to meet his dad, Admiral McCain, quite a man. Both of them were great men. But let's go back because we want to talk about and let people know the tremendous adversity that you dealt with, how you dealt with it, and the success that you've had. I don't think there has been a group of POWs who has had more success in life than the POWs from Vietnam. So one of the things is tell people what happened to you when you arrived at the downtown prison, the Hanoi Hilton.
Sure. Well, when I arrived there, essentially what happened was they put me in a cell all by myself and they began interrogating me. And the interrogations eventually led to beatings and they wanted to know some things. And what I wanted to tell them was my name, rank, serial number, date of birth. But they really wanted to know some things. And the interrogations led to beatings and eventually the beatings led to torture. And we got to the point where I hurt so badly. The pain was so great that I knew if this kept up, I was going to go crazy. And I didn't want to go crazy, because even as a junior officer, I had my little itty-bitty share of military secrets, and I thought, if I'm crazy, there's no telling what I'll do here. So what I decided I was going to do was hold out as long as I possibly could, and then lie. And that's what happened. It hurt so bad, and I'd like to be able to tell you it took weeks. It didn't take weeks. It took a few days in there. I lose a little track of time, but we got to the point where it hurt so badly. I knew I had to do something, and I started lying. I lied about everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, I made up a lie for every question they could ask. And interrogators, they keep. I don't know if people have experience with interrogators. I guess not, but. Actually, that's not so far-fetched thing. I mean, most of us have spouses, and all of us have had bosses at one time or another, so it's not totally unfamiliar. They keep track of everything. So finally, they got done with me, and they left. Now, I'll try to describe this to you. I don't know how to tell you about how I hurt. I couldn't get up off the floor. My arms didn't work anymore. My arms didn't work for weeks and weeks and weeks. I wiggle. I I ate by wiggling around on the floor, sticking my face in a bowl of rice. The pain was absolutely incredible. But worse than the pain was in my mind. Yeah, it's the only time that I've ever been like this in my life where I could not pick a subject and think about it. I just couldn't do it. My mind was out of control. It just was ricocheting around inside of my head. Think about crazy stuff like the dog I had when I was a kid, or my home in Jeanette, or the first car I bought, or just out of control things flashing around in my head.
What did you start thinking about, though, that kind of pulled you back?
Well, here's what happened. And it wasn't because I did it, by the way. And I'll explain that here in a second. But into my mind came, amongst all that clutter and stuff, the first line from the 23rd Psalm.
Wow.
And I didn't want to think about that either. I mean, what I wanted to think about was the lies I had told, because I knew they'd be back and I could start again. But that line kept coming into my mind.
All right,
and
Dave.
Finally, I discovered, yes.
Okay, well, let's tell you what. Again, we've got to have a break from with our partners.
Sure.
When we come back, I want to talk about that and then get into who the greatest French teacher in the world is, because people are going to love that story. And then, by the way, Dave, what's up, Doc? We're going to tell that story as well.
Captain Carey, but keep that train of thought where you are right now, because we want to finish the part of the story you're talking about.
All right, we're going to be right back with Captain Dave Carey, U.S. Navy retired, POW in Hanoi, great man, tremendous writer. We're going to tell you where to get his book when we come back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Tropical Storm Lane is now centered about 130 miles southwest of Hawaii and veering further west. Central Pacific Hurricane Center meteorologist Chris Brenchley.
We don't see the really powerful hurricane force winds as a possibility anymore. Still, though, there's tropical storm force winds. If you live on ridgetops or high-rise buildings, those could still get pretty good gusts in those areas.
The islands are still on alert for more rain and possible mudslides. Arizona Senator John McCain has long been a fighter, but he also knew the long odds of beating an aggressive form of brain cancer. Now his family says he's standing down. McCain was diagnosed with glioblastoma last summer. Now, nearly 1 year into treatment, McCain's family has decided to halt his cancer regimen. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our golf classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit NancyLiebermanCharities.org and be a part of our team.
Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A and the number 4B. Just call 833-4-MY-VA-LOAN. That's 833, the number 4, MY-VA-LOAN. Or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548. And our Homebridge Company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Islam, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at AllianceForTheBrave.com.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
Confidence is a force multiplier. Leaders must generate confidence. Confidence is contagious. If you have confidence, you can make your team confident. But if you don't have confidence, if you lack confidence, they'll be hesitant. What kind of team do you want? As a leader, you want a confident team that can move forward. If you say what you mean and do what you say, and you have confidence in what you're doing, you can lead a team effectively. I'm Colonel John Entel, American-Leadership.com.
Today's program is brought to you by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Visit us on Facebook or online at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now back to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Robin Valtudo. And this is a very, very special interview for me. If you're tuning in just now, retired Navy Captain Dave Carey, who is also a member of my squadron, who is also a POW in Hanoi, good friend of John McCain. John wrote a segment on the back of your book, Rising Above Extreme Adversity, and John's done that. Dave, we had 12 killed in action, we had 3 missing in action, and we had 5 POWs, including you, in Hanoi from my squadron. This is very personal time that we get to talk. So, Dave, tell us a little bit more about the experience and how you became the world's greatest French teacher.
Sure. Let me finish this.
Captain Carey. I'm so glad that you're going to go back to finish the story.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. So what I was saying was that after they tortured me, my mind was out of control, and it stayed out of control until ultimately the first line of 23rd Psalm came into my head. And I did not want to think about that, by the way, but I discovered by hit or miss that if I would think about that line, I could focus my mind. And now I had learned the 23rd Psalm when I was a little bitty kid in Sunday school, and over the years I had been adrift. I'm ashamed to be with you today and tell you how long how long it had been back then that I had even thought of the 23rd Psalm. But if I would think about that line, the Lord is my shepherd, I could think about that line. And so I spent days and days until from somewhere in the back of my head, I dredged up the whole 23rd Psalm. And I discovered once I had done that, I had control of my mind back. Now, I certainly don't think that was any accident. There, you know, the scripture tells us that God is faithful, not you, not me, but God. And there was the word of God that had been planted in my mind so that when I would be so desperate, it would be there. So that kind of got things back on track. Well, then eventually I ended up in cells at various times with small, they kept us in small groups, four, five, six of us in a cell. They believed in divide and conquer, and that's the way they wanted to run this thing. And truthfully, if I were to tell you in excruciating detail all of the terrible things that happened to me, I could account to you for some weeks out of 5.5 years. Or if I were to tell you all the terrible things that happened to Americans in Hanoi, I would be able to account to you for some handfuls of years and years out of literally hundreds and hundreds of man years. So for a long, you know, in essence, for the longest periods of time, we were just locked up. And we had to then decide how we were going to pass our time. So we had, first of all, the entertainment schedule. We would have cell meetings. We always had 100% attendance in our cell meetings. And we would talk about movie stars or books or authors, and you'd let slip that you had read Hunger Games, and we'd schedule you to tell us Hunger Games. And so that would be the night at the movies. Then we decided we would learn from each other. We would teach each other. And so we did. We taught each other everything we'd ever learned and quite a few things we had never learned. And Jim told you that he knows the greatest French professor in the world. That was me. And the way that happened was one day they came in and they took two of us out of the cell and they began to beat on us. And they told us they had a guard listening outside the doors and he heard us talking about things we weren't allowed to talk about. Well, 6 weeks later, when they finally dumped the two of us back in the cell and the roommates want to know what's going on, we said, you won't believe this, man. They're listening outside these doors. They don't understand what we're talking about. And we're getting hammered for what they think we're saying. So we came then to the only logical conclusion, which was we were going to quit speaking English. What we first decided to speak was Pig Latin. And now, I don't know if you've ever tried to speak nothing but Pig Latin, but I can tell you.
I have in my younger years.
Yeah. And I can tell you how long you could do that before you go crazy. It takes about 4 hours, you know. And in the middle of that, I let slip that I had taken French. I had 2 years in high school, 2 years at the Naval Academy. And so my roommates, who were going crazy trying to speak Pig Latin, decided we should immediately shift to French. And so we did.
Wow.
And I began to teach French. And I dredged up some stuff from my mind. I collected words from anybody that I could be in contact with. And I taught French for years.
That's remarkable that after 2 years of education that you could remember enough of it. I've had 3 years of Spanish in college, and I still need an interpreter.
Dave,
remarkable, Dave.
I'll tell you, Robin, by the time we came back to the United States, I had 6 men fluent in the French language.
Wow. Amazing.
You could have been an interpreter, according to you.
According to me, that's right.
Captain
hey, there are
Carey.
Some problems with that language. I had to make some stuff up, but they could speak it.
Maybe they added it to the language since then. Captain Carey, would you say that having those little purposes is what helps you guys survive as well?
Oh, yes. That's a great way to characterize it. We had purposes in our lives. We had objectives in our lives. We were doing things. I mean, even if what you were doing was making up a movie to be able to tell to your roommates for, you know, Sunday night at the movies, there was a purpose there. Or we were going to teach each other these things. And we were learning. I went to the Naval Academy. I have a ton of engineering and math and stuff in my background. And I can tell you, I never understood it until one day in Hanoi. My roommate, who we called the wizard, who managed to cram a 4-year math degree into 5 years in RPI, got down on the floor with a rock and started teaching me math, and I finally understood the stuff. So we had purpose to our lives. And it was thanks be to God, because it wasn't of our own doing largely. It was, we just stumbled upon these things.
You know, one of the things in your book, you talk about also not only faith in each other, but keeping a sense of humor. I love your story about what's up, Doc. That has to be mm-hmm. hysterical. Tell that story, please.
Sure. Well, one day we had a fellow who they took to interrogation, and the interrogator was interrogating me. He wanted to know, he says, where do you live? The guy said, Kansas. He said, what do your family do? He said, well, they're farmers. He said, well, what do your family grow? He said, they grow updog. Well, later, at the end of that whole thing, they took him and locked him up in his cell, and the interrogator came over to our cell. And the little spy door opens up on the door, and we look out the hole, and there stands the elf. We have names for these people. And the elf wants to know, what's up, Doc? And it comes out of the clear blue sky. I mean, what's up, Doc? What's up, Doc? What's up? We're listening to the elf. We're thinking, he doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't even connect. What's up, Doc? And finally, he starts to get excited, and then his head's jammed in that hole, and his veins are standing out, and he demands to know what's up, Doc. And we're saying, give us a hint, give us a hint. And finally he says, up, Doc, you know, it grows on the farm in Kansas. We say, oh, yes, up, Doc, it's about this high. And so we taught him everything there is to know about up, Doc. We gave him the recipe for up, Doc bread. Whatever he wanted to learn, we were teaching.
You guys, you did the best you could.
We did the best we could, and we kept our sense of humor. You know, a sense of humor is a great thing. It gets us through an awful lot.
One of the things is you were married at that time, weren't you, Dave?
I was not married. Karen and I were either engaged or almost engaged. Depends on whose story you want to listen to. and she waited, and we were married 6 weeks after I was released.
We'd
been married a lot sooner than that.
As excruciating as it was for you guys as the capturers, that had to be as equally excruciating for your loved ones back home.
Well, yeah, it was difficult for them. It was on the one hand. On the other hand, they were living in the land of milkshakes and ice cream, and so, I mean, how hard could it have been?
Very true.
But it was very difficult. My family found out that I was alive. They knew I was on the ground. They knew I talked to Dean Kramer when he flew over, as we talked about. And about 2 years after that, they found out that I was still alive.
So for most of the families, did they already have burial services and assume that you were all dead?
No. The assumption was that we were alive until it was proven otherwise. So if you were shot down, you were listed as MIA, unless they had reason to know for certain that you were killed. So most of us were shot down. We were listed as MIA. Ultimately, we got identified in the system somewhere, and they knew we were POWs. But the priority of what your designation was always just MIA until they knew for certain.
Captain Carey, you might really appreciate this after everything that you have been through. I just shared a post to our Alliance for the Brave website, Facebook page today, from a family of U.S. Marine Corps Private Lieutenant or Private Emil F. Ragucci. They just laid his remains to rest this year after 74 years missing in action.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's kind of speechless because of all what you guys have went through, and how you not only persevered, but how many people really advanced by that. Because we have one of our congressmen here in Dallas, Sam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was Stockdale's roommate, from what I understand.
Yep, for a while he was. Uh-huh.
And Captain. Captain Stockdale was our CAG. He was flying one of our planes.
Yes, and he came back and ended up having 3 stars before he retired. Most the guys did well. You know, they were ready to go when we came back, and I never would have thought of this at the time, but I would now want to characterize all of this time we spent locked up in these cells together. A large part of what I think went on there was group therapy. Now, I would never have thought of that at the time, but picture this. Here's a group of men. They're locked up in these cells. We can talk about anything we want, and we can talk about it over and over and over again in every which way. And so I think there was a whole lot of that kind of group therapy going on amongst very, at least mentally healthy individuals, so that by the time we were released and we came back, the vast, vast majority of that POW group, where they were ready to go, and they got on it and did some really marvelous and amazing things.
You know, we talked about momentarily John McCain, one of our our brothers, one of our pilots from VA-163, and what he's going through right now. But a lot of people don't know his father, Admiral McCain, was SyncPAC Fleet, Commander-in-Chief of all military forces in the Pacific. And John was offered a free ride out, and he chose to stay, and he said, first in, first out. That was pretty remarkable what
remarkable
he did.
Bravery. Unbelievable.
I tell you we're going to be back in just a minute. This is Jim Blythe and Robin Valtuto, and we're talking with retired Navy Captain Dave Carey in POW. We're going to tell you how you can get a copy of his book, how you can connect with Dave Carey, because he is one of the greatest speakers I've ever heard. This is Jim Blythe, and we'll be right back after these words from our partners on Alliance for the Brave.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Power Sports. In 1889, the J.E. Faust store opens on Main Street. It's now Grapevine's oldest remaining brick building. Eggs sell for 10 cents per dozen. Butter is 20 cents per pound. And chickens are $2.50 a dozen.
I'm Aaron McWhorter with Grapevine Power Sports. When I bought the dealership, I came in to buy a four-wheeler. They were a freestanding Kawasaki dealership. And I said, Dennis, I don't mean to pry. Are you interested in selling this place? And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we're fixing to put it on the market. I said, Dennis, I'll take it. In the last 3 years, we've done 60% increase. The mayor's a customer of mine. The city manager is a customer of mine. A lot of friends that live here still. The small town feel right in the middle of the big metroplex.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today. Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army, retired.
You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea from 17 through 24 October 2018. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. Join me on this trip. We're going to go to Korea.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pud Rodriguez, and Anthony Kim have enjoyed themselves at the Nancy Lieberman Charities Celebrity Golf Classic. This is Nancy. This day is about friends, fun, and philanthropy. At this tournament, your contributions benefit the children served by Nancy Lieberman Charities. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancyliebermancharities.org and be a part of our team.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
Simplify, simplify, simplify. Leaders must simplify. They must understand the problem and simplify it so they can communicate it. If the idea is too complex, if the communication is too lengthy, nothing gets done. Leaders have to simplify the issues, make them clear to everyone they lead, and then get them to do what is necessary to accomplish the mission. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
You're
listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network, honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back. And if you're joining us late, you want to know about the man we've been talking to, you want to go to his book, The Way We Choose, by author Dave Carey, retired U.S. Navy captain, POW in Hanoi. Dave, thank you so much for being on board today.
Such an honor, Captain.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Captain, Jim and I were talking during the break about the high suicide rate today amongst our veterans, and I was just wondering, those that had served in Vietnam and were POWs, how did you gentlemen come back and make such lives for yourselves, but yet so many of our veterans who have not gone through that type of torture are very tortured in their minds when they come home still?
Well, Robin, that's a very interesting question. And I, of course, have an opinion on that. But quite frankly, my opinion is not a very popular opinion. I think that over the years, we as a nation, our society, our culture, have done a great disservice to our current service personnel in this way. I think in many ways we give the message to those folks in uniform and have been doing it for quite a long time that you're going to go over there, Afghanistan, wherever, you're going to go, maybe multiple times, you're going to go, and, oh, by the way, you're going to get screwed up. And so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy to some extent. They come back, and fit into that mold. We've built up an entire industry around that supposition. So it's even more firmly entrenched. I mean, I understand how bad it can be. I'm very sympathetic to that. However, I think if the message, the underlying message from from us as a people was, you can do this. And yeah, you might have problems if you come back, but you can hike up your boots and get on with life. We wouldn't have problems that we have to the extent that we have them. Now, I know that doesn't sit real well with a whole lot of folks, but I absolutely believe that. I think we just keep giving the message in many different ways and very subtly lots of times to the troops that this is really going to screw you up.
You know, Dave, it's really about the way you choose, which is the title of your book, and it's about the battlefield of the mind, because that's what you're really saying.
Very well said.
And... Dave, how can people get a copy of your book? Because this is tremendously important, because if people need to know, this is one of the greatest motivational books I've ever read.
And I will say this, Captain, I love the font type and everything that you used in the book. It is such an easy read. I just got it this morning, and I don't want to put it down. This is a must-have book.
No, thank you, Robin. The Ways We Choose is the title of it. It's available on Amazon. It's available on my website. I have a website that's just Dave Carey, DaveCarey.com. and I think it's available in bookstores. I haven't gone in any bookstores lately to look for it,
well, Kathy,
but I know
Carey,
that it's on Amazon.
We are coming to a fast close in the end. We will get this up on our website. Sir, such an honor, such an honor. And by the way, happy birthday to the United States Coast Guard.
And a prayer out to all of our active duty and military. God bless you and thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, Dave Carey, for all you have done and are continuing to do. Jim Blythe and Robin Valletudo saying we'll see you next week on Alliance for the Brave.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Trend.